You're listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.
Welcome to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. This is Joe with a quick bite on Lisa Frankenstein. I'm not going to spoil the movie at all. I'm going to give you guys a quick summary about the film and then talk a little bit about what I liked about it, because I liked a lot. The movie was directed by Zelda Williams, who is Robin Williams' daughter. It was written by Diablo Cody, who I'm a big fan of. She wrote a lot of the movies with Jason Reitman. And the movie takes place in 1989. It follows Lisa, who has just recently lost her mother 2 years prior to the film's beginning to an axe murderer. Now, her father, Dale, is completely numbed out and winds up remarrying. And in this marriage, she gains a stepmother named Janet and a stepsister named Taffy, who is very popular in school, unlike Lisa. Lisa spends a lot of her time hanging out at the local cemetery, where she specifically focuses her attention on the gravestone of a young Victorian man who died in the 1830s. We see how Lisa does not fit in with her schoolmates, how she continues to grieve over the loss of her mother, how the fear affects her, and the hopelessness that comes with all these things. She expresses her desire to be with this man, meaning in death with him, when, a la an 80s movie, the cure-all of life, Lightning, strikes and brings this guy back to life. The creature, as he's called, comes back and falls in love with Lisa. Things begin to unravel very quickly, and Lisa switches gears in a very fast-paced film that really goes all over the place. This movie stars Catherine Newton as Lisa, Cole Sprouse as the creature, Carla Gugino as Janet, and Lisa Soberana as Taffy. This movie was released on February 9th of this year and was distributed by Focus Features and Universal Pictures. Now, I did like a lot about the movie. Without getting into specific scenes or any kind of spoilers, I will tell you that if you want to see this movie and you're the kind of person that's a stickler for rules, you're going to have to turn that part off to enjoy this, because the movie doesn't really make any sense whatsoever. But if you can kind of let that go, which I did, because I can be like that sometimes too, you'll really enjoy the film, because I did. It's just one of those things that you never know where it's going to go. It continues to like surprise and shock, and I really like enjoyed the experience of watching this, and I watched it with my girlfriend, and she enjoyed it too. It wasn't like the movie I would rave about or tell everybody they have to see. You know, it's an early movie. It came out in February. You know, there wasn't a lot of things that came out so far, and this was, I think, the better of them, because if you heard us talk about Night Swim, that movie was not so great. That's the best I could say, is that it really just sort of, the movie just takes off, takes you on this ride, and if you're for it, which I was, it's something that most people are really going to enjoy. When I saw the trailer for this movie, I was kind of excited because it looked like something from the 80s. And I like those kind of movies. There was like this big resurgence of movies that would take place in the 80s. It's been going on for a little bit now. We're kind of seeing that slow down a little bit, but when they're done right, they're really entertaining. And this was definitely one of them. They use a lot of music from the 80s, which I like. And some of the songs that weren't had that sound and that vibe. It was pretty good. It was put together pretty well. I saw the trailer and I was kind of excited about it. I didn't really know what to expect because Zelda Williams is a brand new filmmaker's first movie. You know, all I knew is that she's the daughter of Robin Williams. It's not really saying a lot. I mean, I do like Robin Williams. I'm a big fan. I didn't know what she was going to put together and I was impressed. The trailer doesn't really do it justice, but it's a lot more bonkers than what we see. But I think that's just because it's not a movie you could really give a lot away because it changes. The movie constantly switches gears. The reviews for the movie itself were not good. I kind of want to say like they were mixed, but you know, looking back at them again, they're not mixed at all. They're pretty down there, and I don't really know why. I'm kind of surprised, especially when it comes out around a time where there's not really anything else going on. So that kind of surprised me. Sometimes I see a movie, I see the reviews, I'm like, all right, I kind of get that, but I don't really agree with this at all. I'm not really sure why. Maybe because it was so out there. People had maybe a hard time with that. I don't know. It is very different. It's different in a lot of ways, but kind of the same in terms of like the look and feel of that copied 80s movie, because like I said, we've seen quite a few of those. But aside from that, yeah, it's pretty unique. You know, I don't want to talk about specific scenes, but the characters are really great. I thought Taffy was pretty cool, you know, because it's someone that I felt like I wasn't supposed to like, but then I did, because for being like a popular sort of bitch, she really seemed to care about her stepsister Lisa, and when no one else really did. And I like to see the development of that character, because usually that archetype is a pretty standard route. This one, like the rest of the movie, kind of goes off the rails a little bit. So I like where that character went. I like where Lisa's character went. I thought she was really great. Catherine Newton, we've seen her in Freaky. She was also in Ant-Man, but whatever. And she's in Abigail, which is, I think, out now. But she does a good job. She's definitely a likable character as well. Special effects were great. The creature effects, so to speak. You kind of watch the kind of like reverse deterioration, I suppose, of the character who doesn't speak, by the way. This is Cole Sprouse's character, and he does a great job. He's very likable, especially for someone that doesn't have any dialogue. I kind of find him to be like a little eye-rolling, but I was very impressed with his performance in the movie, and he had me kind of laughing and had my full attention for every scene he was in. He did a great job, and yeah, he looked really cool. It did look like an 80s sort of zombie, and I really liked the makeup effects on that and how they kind of went backwards instead of becoming more human as the movie went along. It was pretty good, and in a very subtle way, you know, just sort of, he was kind of looked, maybe he was just cleaned up, and then it was kind of apparent that he was changing a little bit. So I like that a lot too. You know, there's a lot of little nods and stuff like that to other movies. They're small, they're very subtle. You know, there's a part where you see these rainbow suspenders on the creature, and that's kind of a nod to Mork and Mindy, her father's character in that show. I kind of find it funny that Cole Sprouse is playing a Frankenstein-type creature in a movie called Lisa Frankenstein when his name was Frankenstein in Big Daddy when he was Julian. So I that kind of made me laugh a little bit to myself. Now, the movie is available to rent. It's been available to rent for a while. This one kind of came out very quick to VOD. You could get it a little bit cheaper now. I watched it kind of when it came out back in February and maybe March, but I paid like the $20 rental fee or whatever. But now I think you can get it for a normal price, like $5 or $6. Now the Blu-ray is out as well. You could pick that up too if you're a big fan of the movie, or you just kind of one of those people that go and just buy movies that you think you might like. But I think people are shying away from physical media. It's not something I would pick up necessarily, but I would like get it digitally. I would definitely watch this movie again. I enjoyed it. So I know I didn't really say too much about the plot, and I wanted to keep it that way because it is still a rental. It's not something you can watch for free right now. I don't think a lot of people have seen it. And I did kind of go back and forth on like talking about certain things and some other characters that I didn't mention, or really just get into the stuff on the characters I did mention. But I did feel like I would do a really big injustice to someone's first viewing of the movie, because like I said a couple times, it just goes in this like off the wall direction. And when we watched it, we really enjoyed it, and I wouldn't want to kind of take that away. It's not me being lazy with this episode and not wanting to talk. I think it's just the best way to see this, which is going in blind, which is what I did. And I don't think a lot of people do that anymore, and it's hard to see a movie blind because the trailers give so much away, like the feel of the movie, a couple like major scenes or characters that are in it. I don't think this trailer did anything like that. So I think if you don't know anything about this movie, just go check it out. If you're into horror and you listen to this podcast, I'm assuming you do. So that's my recommendation on that. I want to briefly touch base on another movie, and that is a movie called Somewhere Quiet, which came out February 2nd, to be exact. This movie was directed by Olivia West Lloyd. I don't know who they are. They don't have a blue clicky name on Wikipedia. The movie was actually released for the Tribeca Film Festival, I believe, in June of last year, but it was released February 2nd of this year, and it was pretty much right to VOD, I believe. This movie was released by Vertical Entertainment. It stars Jennifer Kim as Megan Rhodes, who is a woman who had escaped a horrible situation. She is essentially a final girl, and we get to see what happens to one of those characters after the movie's over. That summary enticed me, and I really wanted to see it, but you know, it really wasn't like that. It was more of a mystery sort of horror film. While I loved a lot of elements of it, I think what wound up happening is the killer of the movie, you know, was put into question, and we had to spend a lot of time, well, was he the killer? Was he not the killer? Is she going crazy? Whatever like that. And I think that it would have been better if they just focused on what it was kind of inspired by, which is what happens to a final girl after she escapes from a slasher villain? What kind of life does she live? What kind of fear does she live in? And they didn't really do that past like the second act or whatever. So it kept my interest, and I did finish it, and I think it's a pretty good movie, but I think it was just marketed a little bit wrong. And you know, it's a bunch of no names who I've never heard of before, but the movie did well critically, and I understand why, because it was well done. It just wasn't what I was tuning in for. But I would recommend checking that movie out as well. You could rent that for a normal price, I believe, at this point. And that's it. That's the episode. So Lisa Frankenstein, definite watch. Check that one out. I liked it a lot. Maybe we'll talk about it more in depth later on in the year if the other guys want to talk about it as well. But I'll just leave you with this very like spoiler-free review and leave you to it. And hopefully you guys enjoy it as much as I did. Somewhere Quiet's pretty good too. Like I said, I was misled a little bit by what it was, but It's a pretty good movie. And that's February. That's January and February. We talked about Night Swim. These are the two movies that came out that were, you know, early horror movies that were, I guess, worth seeing, in my opinion, and a lot of other people's too. So now we, you know, talk about horror movies in March, and they're like big budget blockbuster things. You know, you got Ghostbusters, Godzilla versus Kong 2, or whatever you want to call it, and then a couple Blumhouse type movies. So April's here too already, and we got some pretty great ones, ones that were unexpected too. So we're going to catch up to all that stuff and talk about that soon. Now, we're coming into May. We have a couple of good things planned for May. We're going to be doing our regular episodes. We're going to be talking about The Changeling, which was a big movie from 1980. A little bit mixed with the guys in the episode. And definitely a pretty good conversation about it that we had, I think. And on the Slasher Origins side, we're finally going to talk about Friday the 13th, which is the movie. Everything kind of copies this, right? So that's coming up. That's going to be a pretty good episode, a pretty long episode. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about The Hillside Strangler, which is an inspiration for movies that we talked about earlier in the year. We have a couple other short things to talk about, some new movies, some other little special episodes and stuff like that. So we got a good May coming up. So hopefully you guys look forward to and enjoy those episodes. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode. And that's it. We'll see you next week and have a good fucking night. Hey guys, if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple iTunes, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You could also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast. There you can find upcoming announcements on the show, new horror news, and original artwork. And if you have comments, questions, or just things to say about the show, we'd love to hear it at joe@sexyvampireteeth.com. If you make us laugh or piss us off, we're likely to read it on the air. So be sure to follow us for updates on the show and tune in every Monday night for a new episode. And thank you guys for listening.
You've been listening to the Sexy Vampire Teeth Podcast.